in the home 6010. The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. It is Monday, December 21st. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and Daniel Dopp here with you to recap almost everything from week 15 and a couple of housekeeping items. First of all, this is the start of an abbreviated week for us here on the podcast. It's a holiday week, of course, for those that do celebrate the Christmas and other holidays around this time of the year. We'll be on the air.
My parents' anniversary, for example.
Is that right?
December 24th.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It must have been fun.
Oh, well, they're Jewish and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so they didn't care.
They thought, why not?
That was weird. Yeah, it's a weird one. I've always thought it was weird, too. I'm like, well... But they had a very simple ceremony. I mean, they've been married well over 50 years. So, like, they went down to City Hall. Like, it's one of those, like, where they, gotcha. Like, they had six people there.
Oh, did they have City Hall
My younger brother, Jonathan, his birthday is December 24th.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
My parents' birthday, December 24th is like a...
It's a big day in the Berry household.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the one guy that has nothing going on the 24th.
And of course...
Oh, but you have a birthday on December 31st.
No, 29th.
29th.
Yeah,
oh,
whatever.
Oh, I just moved the power rankings
right
there.
That's right. Field is now my best friend. Stefania is, I don't even know who
Well, you know what?
I mean, like.
I tried to acknowledge your birthday.
She said it so with conviction, too. Like, oh, December 31st.
You know why? Because he complained the entire week.
It's just pick a day on that week.
Everyone knows I hate my birthday, but Field Minister Yates knows I hate it because it's on December 29th. It's
big
between
you,
Christmas and New Year's.
It's a big one. Big one for you coming up. 40.
I mean,
it qualifies as big.
Correct. Yes. I'm 30 years old. Yeah. Exactly right. It'll be interesting to see what my 40s are like.
Yeah.
So this week, Field, give us a quick rundown on what
today, Monday, we're going to recap basically everything from Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday football. Of course, we have one more game tonight, Steelers and Bengals on ESPN. And then Tuesday, tomorrow, we're going to do a little bit of Monday Night Football recap. We're also going to have as much as we can of a preview for the upcoming week. Waivers will be baked into the show today and then also tomorrow. So, it's not quite five shows in 2 days, but think of it as much information as we can possibly jam in to two shows this week and Daniel.
And we're also going to be doing the DFS podcast on Thursday with Mike and Alan. And so as a part of that, any updates that come out between the week, even though it's more of a DFS focus, there's still Mike Clay and Al Zeidenfeld have incredible information. Even if you don't take the DFS aspect of it, it's still very useful for you in your season-long league. So on Thursday, we will have a DFS podcast you can have as well.
And of course, the games begin... We have a game on Friday this week. We have a Friday, Christmas Day game. Do we have a Thursday game this week? I don't think we do.
No Thursday.
So only Friday, Sunday, Monday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 4 days of football coming up.
You know what? You think about it, right? So we have a Friday game coming up this week, obviously. And then we just had a Saturday game. We obviously have Thursday and Sunday games and Monday games. We had a Tuesday game.
And Wednesday.
And we had a Wednesday afternoon game. We've had games every single day of the week this season.
December has been, just in December alone, it's been amazing. It has been quite a month here for the NFL. Let's get into everything that took place yesterday. And around 11:30, which is when inactives are announced, we got a curveball. Stefania Bell, Ezekiel Elliott was inactive for the Cowboys yesterday. This went from something that felt like load management to maybe an issue.
I don't know if load management is how I would describe it, but they ultimately made a decision that they weren't comfortable with him playing. And whether that was because he had lingering effects from the calf contusion that kept him out the week earlier, which is what Mike McCarthy said he was dealing with earlier in the week, or if it was lack of preparation for the game plan, which is what Mike McCarthy hinted at later in the week. So not really clear, or maybe it's a combination of the two. Either way, did not play, did not practice at all. So you would have to think that you got to see him in practice this week to expect him to go.
Okay, that would be hopefully.
It was a game time decision. That's the weird thing to me. The weird thing to me is he was a game time decision. Like, and in fact, there were reports Saturday night that he was, even though he hadn't practiced, he was expected to play.
Right.
Again, Ezekiel Elliott has never, prior to yesterday, had never missed a game due to injury in his NFL career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, Stefania is one who knows best, but it's just like in trying to figure out the waiver comp, because we're doing waivers later today on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus, and trying to rank the waivers, it's like if I knew Tony Pollard were playing next week, he's the number one, and it's not close. But, I mean, I think there's a legit chance Zeke plays, right?
Yeah,
even
we'll
if
see.
It's half time, even if it's, you know, a partial workload.
So Zeke sits yesterday. As you mentioned, Tony Pollard steps in. And Lemons into Lemonade is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that is perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade and keep the good times going with Truly. Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. And was this like literally the example of making lemonade yesterday? So as 11:30 rolls around, we find out that Tony Pollard will be the starting running back. And he was at it, and I'm sure a ton of leaks. Now, on ESPN, the way our system works is that, like, we don't, at least as far as I know, you don't see the percentage of a player's rostership, like, instantaneously.
It's a rolling like, seven-day average.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know specifically how many leaks he was added in, but my guess is a bunch. And he paid off. 69 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 catches, 63 yards, and, like, an incredible late-game touchdown, too. Like, the game was already out of reach, and he had, like, a 30-yard touchdown run, which probably swung some fantasy matchups yesterday in the semifinals.
I'm sure it did.
We'll do more waiver wire later, but as you said, Matthew, if he knew he was playing next week, he'd be the number one ad. And this is sort of a weird series of events for the Cowboys yesterday. On the one hand, it's like this player that they added in the draft to insure against a Zeke Elliott injury looked great. On the other hand, you're like, oh, wait, you just spent $90 million, $15 million per year on Zeke Elliott, and you got a player for like $3 million over 4 years who looks awesome.
And doesn't Zeke, I mean, like, Field, you're Mr. Salary Cap, you're Mr. Contracts, you talk to all the agents, but to the best of my knowledge, like, Ezekiel Elliott's not, like, it's not like one of these things that's like, we could release him next year and take a cap hit. Like, they're tied to him, like, till 2027 or something insane, right?
Yeah, I mean, so it's not that bad. But he's not going anywhere next year is what I would say. And then, moreover, is just, like, even if the contract isn't that bad, it's still, like, again, I love running backs with my whole heart. Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey, you name them. Why are you paying running backs?
Right.
Well, you have so many good players you have to pay. Like, pay Patrick Mahomes. Pay Travis Kelce, right? Pay quarterbacks that are incredible. They're really hard to find.
Chase Young in 4 years.
That's right. Daniel, what do you got?
I'm curious, understanding what we've seen from Ezekiel Elliott basically the entire season with the same offensive line, with the same quarterback, with the same wide receivers, what is it that I missed about why Zeke can't be what Tony Pollard was yesterday? Like, well, what, outside of the 9 targets, and if that's the case, then why are they not giving him targets?
I have a couple of thoughts. Go ahead.
I was going to say, first of all, like, I think the 49ers are a defense that has some talent. But, I mean, I was watching the game with Stefania. We all were yesterday. Like, the 49ers, the way their offense was playing gave them, like, basically no chance. It was constantly short field. They were able to pressure Nick Mullins all day. The Cowboys were. That, like, when the offense was out there, it wasn't like it was 3 yards. Like, they just had a much more favorable sort of script yesterday than we've seen in a long time. And Tony Pollard, so I don't know if he's as fast as Zeke. He certainly looks faster and shiftier to me. Not nearly as powerful, and I get all that stuff. But still, like, he's just a guy that has some big playability. Pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that, but I do think the 9 targets are important. I mean, one of the things about Ezekiel Elliott is I feel like he is, and he's obviously a somewhat different player, but the way you use Ezekiel Elliott is the way you use Derrick Henry.
Right.
Like, Zeke makes his money in the fourth quarter. Like, you just keep pounding him, and then there gets a point where the linebackers are just like, I ain't tackling that guy anymore. Like, I'm just done.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, like he wears you down. And so when you're not getting 22 carries from Ezekiel Elliott, he's not as effective. And, listen, the last couple of years he's been used in the passing game, and that's been a nice addition to his game. And he gets 3, 4, 5 targets a game, which is great. But that's not his game. It's a nice, you know, compliment to his game, but that's not his game. And to Field's point, Pollard is faster and shiftier and honestly has less usage. I mean, Zeke has had, like, probably off the top of my head
6,000 carries.
Something, yeah, I mean, 8 billion carries. And so I think there's a little bit of fresh legs there.
Sure.
And I think it's also right getting him in space and using what he does well. But they've also, like, they haven't done Zeke any favors. Like, the offensive line has been bad. They haven't used him in the red zone. And by the way, like, the first touchdown that Tony Pollard had was a gimme touchdown. Like, just like this, you know, here's a 1 yard line. They haven't given Ezekiel Elliott one of those in like all year long. I mean, it's been like since Dak has been injured.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Zeke has one touchdown since Dak went down.
Let's
with
keep
injury.
It moving here.
Thirsty Cow, keep me honest on that, but I'm like they just don't even give him those close ones.
Yeah, it feels it was like a receiving touchdown too.
What?
No, two total. One rushing, one receiving.
No rushing.
I'm
one
sorry.
Receiving.
Oh, none.
No rushing touchdowns, one receiving touchdown Ezekiel Elliott since Dak Prescott went down with injury. So it's a little bit of both, and we can talk about this further maybe in the offseason, something like this. I have Ezekiel Elliott in a dynasty league, and I'm not sure what to do with him.
I think you're going to hold. He's going to be much better next year in the offensive line.
He can't be worse.
Yes, that's right. We're going to keep this moving here as we have to get to a ton of other injuries. Stefania, Julio Jones missed his fifth game of the season with a hamstring issue. Do you think we'll see him down the stretch at all for Atlanta?
I do. He's pushing to come back. He actually wants to play in the last two games of the season. He hasn't missed this many games. You have to go back to 2013 when he only played five games, and it's important to him. So he is making progress, but it wasn't quite ready for yesterday.
Okay. Well, we know that Calvin Ridley is going to step up basically anytime Julio is out. In five games without Julio this season, Calvin Ridley has 116.6 receiving yards per game, 11.6 targets per game. Yesterday, he had 10 for 163 and a touchdown, one of the best wide receivers in fantasy yesterday. But Russell Gage also got in the mix. He had five catches. He had a touchdown. If you are perhaps looking for a Julio replacement in week 16, he's on the radar. He's got back-to-back-to-back games with 10 or more fantasy points. He's been solid. He's a solid player for them. And Matt Ryan has traditionally not played well without Julio, Matthew. He played much better yesterday. The passing offense for the first half looked very lively.
It really did. I mean, listen, Matt Ryan was on the hate list this week. Like he, you know, we talked him, you know, I had him ranked low because again, in the four games without Julio Jones, he was averaging under 10 fantasy points per game. He was averaging 9 and change. And so honestly, I thought this was more about Tampa Bay just coming out flat. I mean, listen, Matt Ryan made what he had, you know, made some good throws and played well, but you know, the second half was much more indicative. I will say this. If, and this is just me, if I was in week 16, if I managed to survive this week, I would want somebody other than Matt Ryan if Julio Jones sits. I mean, nice game, great, obviously helped Russell Gage. Hayden Hurst gets in the end zone for the first time in 2 months, a week too late for my war room team. Thanks so much. But you know what I mean? Like, I just, you're starting Calvin Ridley and maybe you feel good about Julio Jones as like a wide receiver 3 fill-in, but you know, it was a nice game by Matt Ryan. It's not something that I would trust in week 16.
Stefania, Michael Thomas, another star NFC South wide receiver. We have some intel there because we have some clarity there. He's not going to play again this year.
Right. Not during the regular season, not during the fantasy football season. He will be out, placed on injured reserve this weekend with that high ankle sprain that he suffered in week one, being sort of a chronic nagging problem, as they sometimes can be. And ultimately, the team is looking to the postseason. I think you saw that globally yesterday. It's part of why they brought Drew Brees back. They're looking to get ready for the postseason. Michael Thomas is out. You know, this is the time of year where you start looking at teams and going, well, is there somebody that they're going to rest? And sometimes you see it, for example, had the Vikings been in a different position, we might be talking about something like that with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. But I looked around the league and I really don't see much other than teams who have players who could be shut down, who perhaps should be shut down. And the two that come top of mind are Kenny Galladay of the Lions and Joe Mixon of the Bengals, where essentially they haven't been present, but they might be shut down. Everywhere else, teams that are in contention, I don't see really a situation like this. Everybody's got the option, like Cleveland, for example. Congrats to the Browns, but they've got two running backs so they can balance the workload. I think this is the highest profile situation where you have a player who you expect to have in the playoffs for the regular football, but is out for fantasy purposes.
You had your hand raised. You want to say something, Matthew?
I was just going to say, like, she was talking about, you know, veteran players that might get shut down for the year. Kenny Galladay, Joe Mixon. I was going to say maybe Matthew Berry. But sources are saying that, you know, there's some conversations happening at upper level management. Maybe just load management, you know, just maybe shut
how
him down.
How do you load
season.
Manage somebody who already is load managed?
Wow.
Can I ask just a real quick question?
You know what, Stefania? It's interesting. I like the fact that in just one show, she has gone complete heel turn. That like this, that basically once
Roman
she realized
style,
she screwed up my birthday,
yep.
Field moved way ahead of her in the rankings, and she's just like, you know what? I'm just going to double down on this, and I'm just going to go full heel.
That's right.
Is what I'm going to do. I like that, Stefania. Good. Yeah. Good for you.
Because you're back and you're healthy and you're yourself, and I want you to feel like you're really at home. So here I am.
There you go. Exactly. Just Stefania.
Is Michael Thomas, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but Michael Thomas the worst pick of the draft this year? Because if you passed, taking Michael Thomas in the first round means you didn't get one of those top-tier running backs. So not only did you not get the number one wide receiver, but you didn't get any of those top running backs that you needed from that aspect.
I think it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Zeke Elliott because they actually played. Like I have a hard time faulting Michael. 7 games, Christian McCaffrey missing a bunch of games, Saquon Barkley missing a ton of games. Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is probably Zeke. Those two have been bad.
Straight up not good return on your investment.
Like, and the challenge there is that at least with somebody like McCaffrey or Michael Thomas, like, okay, they're out.
Right.
Now I know to replace them. But with Ezekiel Elliott or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you feel like you got to start them. And then they just, like, I was like, again, in the Dynasty League where I have Ezekiel Elliott, and it's a crazy deep 33-man roster league. 12 teams. So like I've had to roll, and it's a super flex league. So I've had to roll Zeke out every week, and it's just been brutal. And so like, I was just like, oh good, Zeke's off the hook. I can start Michael Gallup. And then I got a cheap touchdown and it worked out for me. But like, I was happy about that. I will say Michael Thomas and Chris McCaffrey are a close second, because at least like with somebody like Saquon Barkley, you're like, okay, it's done. You know what I mean? But with McCaffrey and Thomas, you've had to hold them all year. And you haven't, you know, and every week it's like, this is the week. And then you're like,
Well, if McCaffrey's
been brutal.
He has a chance at redemption, though, because he could play in week 16. He could have been a monster week. However,
could have played in week 15, week 14. We keep hearing that.
I know. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, excuse me, as you talked about. So he got hurt yesterday, obviously. So obviously the outlook for now, I didn't mean to say that, like, the disappointment of Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not tied to his injury, is what I was trying to get at. But he, Stefania, left the game yesterday late for the Chiefs. And you can kind of tell this was nasty when it first happened.
It was really, you know, I look at a lot of injuries, and this one, you know, some of them take my breath away because I'm worried about just how severe they are. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire was just the position he ended up in. If you saw it, his right leg was stretched out to the side, almost like he was doing the splits, but his left leg was bent kind of like what we call a figure four, only backwards. Like his knee was up behind him, and then you had a player falling across the back of him. So it does two things. Number one, it puts your hip in a terrible position because the hip is kind of at this max stretch there, and somebody landing on top of it, you worry about the potential for it damaging the joint or forcing the hip out of position. And then his ankle is underneath it, being rotated with the body weight on top of it. Now, we've seen the Adam Schefter reports perhaps this morning that he is believed to have suffered a high ankle sprain and a hip injury and expected out the rest of the regular season. He couldn't put any weight on it when he left, and we'll wait for more updates. But I do want to say one thing about the conversation we were having about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, when they brought Le'Veon Bell in, that immediately turned his value down to me, because it just made the point that they weren't going to run him into the ground in his rookie season. So he never was going to have a chance to be what we thought he would be.
Yeah, it just hasn't been good. It hasn't been good.
And see, and here's what's I'm curious to you. Sorry, Field, but like for me, as we sit here on a Monday morning, right, and we may get more news that would change this, but to me, Le'Veon Bell, who's available in 42% of ESPN leagues, so he doesn't make the threshold, but he's out there in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
If he weren't available in your league, to me, he's the number one pickup, because we know he's going to start on Sunday versus Tony Pollard, who might be awesome and start, but also might be splitting a workload with Zeke or go back to his, you know, 6 to 8 touches a game.
He's up there. I mean, there are a couple more that also like could be, you know, it's all circumstantial, right? Savon Ahmed, if no Miles Gaskin, could be really good. Obviously, Jeff Wilson Jr., we're talking about in 1 second, would be really good. But anyways, Clyde Edwards-Helaire likely done for the rest of the regular season, according to Shefty. Happy birthday, Shefty. The legend turns some number today.
Happy birthday to Adam Schefter. Hey, Field, question for you, just as long as we're on the Chiefs for 1 second. From what I understand, and I'm not smart about these kind of things, you are, but from what I understand, and maybe this is something we get into tomorrow's show, but the Chiefs have nothing to play for Sunday. Yeah. They have to win on week 17, but because of the schedule, because they play an NFC team this week, they play the Falcons.
Right.
It doesn't affect their seeding the way week 17 against the Chargers does. Is that correct?
I'll try to make this really quick because we have a lot to get to. But the Chiefs right now are 13-1, as we all know. If the Steelers lose tonight, then the Chiefs just need to win one of their final two games. The Steelers are not losing tonight, right? They're going to win. So basically the idea is that the only way the Chiefs would finish with the same record as the Steelers and also have an inferior and then finish behind them, right, would be it has to be an interdivision, interconference tiebreaker, right? So if they play, when they play next week, they play Atlanta, which is an NFC team. If they lose that game and finish with the same record as the Steelers, they could potentially...
They still have the tiebreaker.
They could still potentially have a tiebreaker.
But if they lose to the Chargers, it's an intra-division, then
Then obviously your division record goes inferior. I expect the Chiefs to play all the way through. All the way through.
That's I hope so.
So as that makes the two of us. So we'll see. Okay. But the Chiefs play the Falcons next week. All right, Raheem Mostert, Stefania, yesterday on the show, we were talking about this one as well. Is it like the 49ers, like he went from limited to like... off the injury report entirely by Friday. It seemed surprising to me. And then what was not surprising to me, unfortunately, was that he left the game early yesterday.
Right. Raheem Mostert just last week, speaking to reporters, said that he'd essentially come to terms with the fact that this ankle issue was going to bother him through the rest of the season, but he was just figuring out ways to play through it. And there was concern out of last week's game, the week 14 game, as to whether he had injured his ankle more severely. He was scheduled to have a further imaging. Kyle Shanahan said he wouldn't have updates till Wednesday. And then when he did, it sounded like, okay, well, you know, he's going to go ahead and press forward and see how he does. And then they took him off the pregame injury report. It did surprise me because clearly the ankle is still a problem and he may be able to run at times, but it's like if he plants wrong and twists it, then things happen like what happened Sunday where he was forced out of the game early. And then that led to an increased workload for Jeff Wilson, who also injured his ankle in that game. So I assume that Jeff Wilson will be ready to play. Don't know about Raheem Mostert for this week.
Okay. So Raheem Mostert will see. Jeff Wilson, as you mentioned, Stefania, if he does play, he's available in about 50% of leagues. So go take a look on the waiver wire if you can find him.
One other injury I just want to bring up that I haven't seen a lot of people talking about here. And, you know, Stefania, I don't want to catch you off guard. But James Robinson left the game early yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if James Robinson, and didn't look great, I mean, like, you know, we're still trying to get information there. But if he were to miss, my expectation is, I mean, I would think Divine Ozigbo and Dare Ogunbowale would be, you know, some sort of combination.
But that kind of tells you what you need to know. Like, are you trusting either of those players in your championship?
Probably not, unless you are desperate, which, by the way, some people are.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, like, it's worth noting.
Keep tabs on James Robinson tomorrow. A couple more injuries quickly here, Stefania. Michael Gallup and Jalen Reagor, back-to-back. A couple of guys who got banged up.
Yeah, I just think there are guys to watch. Michael Gallup with a hip injury, Jalen Reagor with an ankle injury, both of them forced out of the game early. No major updates post-game on either of them, so we will watch practice reports this week.
Okay, there you have it. Jalen Reagor actually played pretty well yesterday for the Eagles, who played very well offensively behind their new starting quarterback, Jalen Hurts. More on running backs in just a moment. But first, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The rising generation of NFL superstars has been dropping dimes and creating in space for years, way before they got into the league. And now, it's your turn. Create your own highlight reel with X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick controls. Swag out and win in style in new backyard football-inspired mode, The Yard. Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21, available right now.
All right, let's readjust some of our running back thoughts as we head into championship week. And I should have probably started the show with this, in that, first of all, even if you're not in your championship, if you're listening to the podcast, we love you. We love you. Thank you
so
for
much.
Doing that.
I mean, Stefania doesn't. Stefania's gone full heel.
But well, that's only on you.
Me, little Scrooge-like.
Me, you, and Daniel love you.
We do love you.
Right.
I love Stefania, the people. I've gone full heel on is you, Matthew.
Where's Stefania? Do you guys see Stefania?
I don't.
Where's Stefania?
No idea. I think, did she just say, I love the little people? I think that's what she just said.
No.
Is that what it was?
I think she just said that. Starfania, just looking down from.
The people know the real me.
Let's get to some readjusted running back thoughts. And if you play on ESPN.com, default settings, we have 2 weeks ahead in our championship. A lot of leagues only play through week 16, so it could be a one-week final. So just keep in mind, like, whatever our assessment is of these players, we don't have a lot of time for it to change going forward. So try to take these week 16 evaluations as hopefully worth something going in, going into week 16. Let's start with Josh Jacobs, your boy, Matthew. 20.4 fantasy points, 76 rushing yards, 3 catches on 3 targets for 38 yards. This is kind of the gateway for him. This is how he becomes a fantasy rock star, is basically handles all the carries in the game and gets some passing game usage as well. But, Matthew, like, there are no big plays for Josh Jacobs. None this year. None.
No, I mean, and by the way, like, it'll be interesting to see, because in last week's game, you know, one of the knocks on Josh Jacobs, and no question, like, look, whatever, my whatever, my Twitter beef with Josh Jacobs aside, I'm going to...
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, no one did. Look, that aside, you know, he's obviously a very good football player, and... But the challenge with him is, to your point, there's no big plays, and there's often no passing game usage. Now, against the Chargers last week, he actually did get some passing game usage. And so the question is it Derek Carr or Marcus Mariota? It did seem like Mariota was more willing to check down to him, but how much of that was like he's just been thrown into the game and, like, you know, that kind of thing. So that's the thing. It is worth noting he's had three or more catches in three straight games. So his passing game usage finally coming along a year and a half into his NFL career. He's at home to Miami, a game in which we expect the Raiders to, if nothing else, be competitive in. Jacobs will once again be a top 12, you know, RB1 this week.
J.K. Dobbins stepped in for the Ravens yesterday with Mark Ingram as a healthy scratch. Here's the problem. So J.K. Dobbins is like a solid RB2 option, Matthew, but the potential to unlock that league winner that we had hoped for down the stretch is prevented by one thing. Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards continues to be a thing for Baltimore at 11 touches yesterday for 78 yards. If not for Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins would be a top 10 running back option.
I think it's actually two things. So I think it's Gus Edwards.
Lamar Jackson.
I mean, Lamar Jackson had vultured at least one rushing touchdown, and there was a second one that got called back, and then they got to Dobbins as well. And so that's always the problem, is that there's always, you know, and it makes sense for their offense, just they have multiple looks at the goal line, but that's a challenge right there. It was worth noting that Mark Ingram was a healthy scratch yesterday. I mean, the Ravens want J.K. Dobbins to be the guy, but only to an extent. I agree with you. He's not a league winner, but he is a solid RB2. I think you can trust him as a lower-end RB2 next week against a better-than-you-think Giants defense.
Let's move on to Cam Akers, who yesterday actually left the game for the Rams, who lost to the Jets. Hello, you play to win the game, and the Jets won the game. How about that? They are now off the schneid, the 0-14 would have been Schneid. They are now also
unbelievable. In a week in which there were so many crazy things that happened, that was the most shocking to me, and possibly the most shocking thing all season long, of the Jets, the 0-14 Jets going to Los Angeles and beating the Rams, who needed this win.
Yeah, they sure did. They are now in second place in the NFC West behind the Seattle Seahawks, and probably have no chance to hope. Well, not no chance. They have a slim chance now. You know what? I take that back. They play the Seahawks this upcoming week. The point is, it would have been nice to win that game against the 0-13 Jets. They did not. Cam Akers left the game for a little while yesterday, got his ankle retaped, but he did have 34 snaps compared to just 15 for Malcolm Brown and 7 for Daryl Henderson, Matthew. It just wasn't a good day. But say this about the Jets. They're bad, obviously. They're really bad. But their defensive line is pretty legit up front.
They play good run defense. They play good run defense, and Cam Akers, I mean, listen, if you have Cam Akers, what you're encouraged by the fact is, first off, it looked like his day was done. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Willis Reed, like, he comes hobbling back out there. He wasn't 100%, and it's a tough matchup. And obviously, the Rams were in comeback mode.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the other thing. It's like, not only did the Jets win this game, but the Jets were dominating it for parts of this game.
20-3.
Yeah, I mean, it's like shocking. But that was the positives, is that even at less than 100%, it was still the Cam Akers show. It is clearly his backfield, unless for some reason he couldn't play. But, you know, Daryl Henderson, Malcolm Brown are afterthoughts for the Rams. And look, it's, again, not, they play Seattle this week, as you mentioned, not a great matchup, but Akers will get the majority of the workload for what we still think is a pretty good Rams offense.
Leonard Fournette back into a starting role yesterday and found the end zone twice. This one's kind of fool's gold, though, because he had 21.5 fantasy points. I thought it looked bad. I thought it looked average, right?
I want to say, I forget, it was either Pat Thorman or Evan Silva, our friends, that tweeted this, and I thought it was very funny. They just tweeted Lenny Asiata. And I thought that was such a great call. Thought that was such a great call. So I think Pat may have tweeted it and Evan retweeted it or whatever. I apologize if I get that wrong. It's clearly not my joke, but I thought it was a great joke, and I thought, that's a great call. That's a great call because, yes, he fell into the end zone twice.
Twice.
Is what he did.
Yep, and he had 3 catches on 5 targets. Again, 21.5 fantasy points. Stefania, Ronald Jones, there's a sort of a two-pronged issue to his availability for Week 16. It's not just the pinky, it's also the COVID-19 list.
Right, and he had the pin put in his finger, and then there was a chance that he was maybe going to come back. We weren't sure, but then placed on the reserve COVID-19 list later in the week, so it was clear that he was going to be unavailable. We don't know as of yet what his status for this week will be.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that one. Obviously, Fournette would, again, be in line for, you know, RB2 level usage based off of the fact that
they play the Detroit Lions. Like, yeah. Is now that the Jets have won, field just objectively, are the Lions the worst franchise in the NFL?
No.
Were the Lions?
I think the Texans are.
Were the Lions
Jaguars?
Like, you think it's the Jaguars? I mean, they're about ready to get Trevor Lawrence. So I mean, we'll see, right? I guess Daniel, were you upset? I'm just curious for you, real quickly. Over the weekend, ESPN announced the college football playoff. Were you upset that the Lions didn't get a bid?
I didn't think that they would make a bowl game this year, in all honesty. So it's not, you know, it is what it is.
Right, understood.
Let's get that. Army into a bowl game. Can we collect
seriously,
that?
Seriously, let's get Army into a bowl game.
We digress.
Texas A&M got jobbed, by the way. I'm just going to say that right now. Texas A&M got jobbed. Notre Dame shouldn't be there. Giga Maggies.
David Johnson had a huge day yesterday, the best day of his season, I believe. 27 total yards on the ground, but 11 catches for 106 yards through the air. So what do we make of this?
Shocking. Shocking. I'll just own this, right? So, and I felt so terrible because I cannot tell you how many people texted me or DM'd me and asked me, David Johnson versus Kareem Hunt, David Johnson versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire, David Johnson versus Tony Pollard. I got a lot of David Johnson questions yesterday from friends of mine. And in every case, I was just like, I went with a guy that wasn't David Johnson because I thought he's somebody that has struggled so far, right? He has only 2 games this year with more than 65 rushing yards. Okay. Like, he is somebody that has, prior to this game, had not had more than 4 targets. They hadn't involved him in the passing game coming into this game. He hadn't been particularly effective on the ground. My expectations were that the Colts would play really good run defense in this one as well. And so I wanted no part of David Johnson yesterday. And he was not good on the ground. In fact, even with Duke Johnson out, he had only 8 of the 15 Texans running back carries, but did he get 11 receptions? I think he got 11
on 11 targets.
I mean,
looked like old DJ.
What?
You looked like old DJ.
Yeah. Like, where has that been all season long? Like,
but still, he's like a borderline top 25 option for.
Yeah. I mean, anyway. So, apologies to all my friends, but like, I feel like based on all the usage we've seen in the matchup, I feel like it was the right call. It just obviously didn't work out.
It's fantasy football for you, dude.
Welcome. The Jets beat the Rams yesterday. What are you gonna do? It's weird. It's an oblong shaped ball made of leather. Weird stuff happens.
Kenyon Drake had just 6 fantasy points yesterday for the Cardinals. He played 1 less snap than Chase Edmonds as well. That snapped a 4-game streak of at least 16 fantasy points for Drake. I don't read much into this one. Do you?
It was a little bit weird because Edmonds was banged up coming to the game. He was a true game time decision.
Yeah,
and yeah, Drake had been getting tons of usage. You know, Kyler was Kyler again, by the way. To me, the biggest takeaway from the Cardinals game was, oh yeah, that's the Kyler that led fantasy teams to, you know, awesome records. And then the last couple of weeks has sort of been like, where'd Kyler go? But Kyler was awesome. DeAndre Hopkins was awesome. It was nice to see in the fantasy playoffs, fantasy superstars acting like fantasy superstars. You know, it was a little dump off pass that got Chase Edmonds into the end zone here. But I agree with you. I'll have Kenyon Drake ranked higher than Chase Edmonds going into week 16.
More on quarterbacks and other players we have confidence or a lack thereof in just a minute. But first, businesses have had to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. If you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you've had to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place that you can always count on to make hiring smarter, faster, and easier. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free.
What?
At ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's right. Free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Do you ever feel like you're always on?
Always.
Always.
These days, everything is just go, go, go. It is non-stop hustle all the time.
Oh, my God. You're describing me.
Everyone knows nothing good comes from hustling.
I know. Yes. And yet I'm constantly on the go.
I know, Matthew. You're right. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and the expectation to be on 24/7.
Yeah, except sometimes, for the social issues.
Yeah, well, yes. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button.
Can I take that moment now?
I'd love to turn you off right now, Matthew. That's when you reach for the Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill. It's Coors Light. Watching football is therapeutic to fans. It is the uninterrupted me time and an excuse to chill and drink beer. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team, just to drink beer. Mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for the cold trifecta. It's literally made to chill and celebrate with responsibly. As crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is the beer to choose when you need to unwind, so when you want to hit the reset button, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And please, don't forget to celebrate responsibly.
Tomorrow's our last show of I screwed up. I pulled a Field Yates.
That's my job.
I pulled a Field Yates.
Yikes.
I pulled a Field Yates.
Would love to
I'm
hit
sorry.
The reset button on that one.
Hey-o. Yeah.
Wow. I was just going to say, Daniel, that... tomorrow's our last show before the Christmas holiday.
Correct.
Right? And we're in week 16.
Accurate.
And just, you know, listen, you know, the sales team here does a great job. They do a great job. And we're all a team here. We're always trying to help out our counterparts on the ad sales side.
Absolutely.
So I wonder if maybe it would be beneficial.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking purely of the ad sales group here.
And I know where this is going.
We always appreciate our sponsors, the people who help us keep the podcast free. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it would be beneficial to all of those important partners if maybe we drank some Coors Light tomorrow on the show. We Kathy Lee and hoded it. You know what I mean? Like, let's just get some Coors Light up here. Again, it's just to help our friends at Coors Light and the ad sales folks.
I hear you.
That's all I'm doing is trying to help them out.
Had me at beer.
I'm concerned, though.
You had me at beer.
Right.
I'm going to say no to this.
I didn't think there was such a thing as breakfast beer based on earlier on in the season.
Brunch beer. This is brunch beer. It's 10 a.m.
Brunch beer, everybody.
Yes.
What we do is we maybe do an offering. You can get your Coors or you can have a Truly Hard Seltzer. You want to
snap.
Those that
are looking for
I would do that too.
I'll take several silver bullets instead, but you can have your Truly.
Yeah, I'll do my Truly. Yeah.
I would totally do that.
Yeah. I'm all down with that.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Fantastic. For the boys.
Yes. And Stefania.
No, no. Absolutely not for heel Stefania over there. Absolutely not.
I need more of it than you so I can put up with you.
Accurate. True statement.
That's
good point.
That's fair.
Let's talk about some quarterbacks.
Yes.
How confident we are in them. A couple weeks ago, Daniel was like, you know what I am? I'm back on the Tana wagon. Question is, are you? The answer is, Daniel, he has been incredible. He was amazing yesterday.
He's been amazing. Yes.
Amazing.
That was one of the weeks when you guys weren't there. I asked Mike Clay if he was back on the Tana wagon after having a couple of rough weeks there, so...
I like that. Ryan Tannehill. I don't think people appreciate just how good Ryan Tannehill has been since he escaped Adam Gase.
You had to go there, huh?
It is what it is. I was having a conversation yesterday with a Jets fan, you know, talking about, he's just like, I still think Darnold, you know, because once it looks like they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence now. Right. He was just like, well, I still think Sam Darnold can be good. And I'm like, I agree with you. There's a long track record of players that are no longer coached by Adam Gase that have found success in the NFL.
Right.
Like, that's not trolling. That is an actual fact, you know, whether it's Devontae Parker, whether it's Ryan Tannehill, whether it's Kalen Ballage. I mean, there's a long list of players out there that qualify, and Ryan Tannehill has been terrific. I think, you know, speaking as somebody that had Tannehill as his starting quarterback in a couple leagues, and I was playing against Derrick Henry, like, oh my good, because he vultured, Henry at the goal line on one of them and had another rushing touchdown. You don't generally expect two rushing touchdowns, but honestly, like, it's his fifth game this year with three or more touchdown passes, right? It's his fourth game with over 26 fantasy points. Like, he's a legit quarterback one. Like, he is not flashy the way Kyler Murray or Deshaun Watson or, you know, the obvious, you know, the Mahomes and the Rodgers of the world. But, like, if you don't have, like, one of those top five guys, like, he's a very legitimate. He's what you thought you were getting out of Carson Wentz this year.
Yeah, he has been awesome. No two ways about that. Generation Rising is brought to you by EA Sports, NFL, Madden 21, and who else besides Jalen Hurts is our featured player today, who yesterday had 338 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 63 rushing yards, and a touchdown, good for 37.8 fantasy points on a week where we had massive performances from Kyler Murray and Ryan Tannehill, as you just mentioned. Aaron Rodgers was great. I'm forgetting one other player who was awesome. Jalen Hurts was the best quarterback in fantasy yesterday, Matthew. He was started in just 15% of leagues in week 15. Should he be added in all leagues and started in all championships?
Obviously, he was on the love list. He was my number 8 quarterback this week, which I was clearly
way
7
low,
spots
huh?
off,
yeah.
But like I had him as a start. Like he was on the love list, strong in the love list. We talked about him all morning on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning as well, and we were like, "Listen, I get it. It's a guy on the road in his second NFL start ever. I understand you may not want to start him, but listen, no risk it, no risk it." And we think this guy's going to have a very big game. One of the things we talked about, the fact is Arizona plays a lot of man defense, and that is traditionally pretty good for mobile and rushing quarterbacks. We talked about the fact that 6 different quarterbacks had had over 30 rushing yards against Arizona, and they struggle against the run in general. We thought Hurts would be very, very good in terms of using his rushing ability because he was coming off the game where he'd had over 100 rushing yards, you know, and he had 63 in this one. By the way, and just – like, I can give you all sorts of numbers to the eye test. Looks like the real deal.
Mm. Sure looks like the real deal.
Made some terrific throws. Like, the throw where basically it's a low snap. It's
fumbles it.
He picks it back up, runs to his right, and delivers a dime, like, 25 yards down the field. Like, you're like, that kid can freaking play.
Day late and dollar short, most likely based off the investment with Lamar Jackson. But he appears to be back. Lamar Jackson has back-to-back-to-back games with at least 25.5 fantasy points. All of that since returning off of the COVID-19 list. He has 9 or more rushing attempts in 8 straight games. He's completed over 70% of his passes in 4 of his past 6 games, Matthew. This was the Lamar Jackson you drafted. This
Correct.
Was the player that you drafted if you used a second round pick.
If you managed to hang around long enough, you were rewarded. And the schedule is nice coming. You know, listen, they got the Giants. And, you know, the Giants are a better defense than you think, but you're certainly not worried about it. And then after the Giants, they play the Cincinnati Bengals in week 17, if you're playing in week 17. One last thing on Jalen Hurts before we move on to the next guy is that you're asking, should Jalen Hurts be picked up in every league? Jalen Hurts should be picked up in every league. And you're like, I don't need him. I got Patrick Mahomes. And
defense.
Like, oh, no. Your opponent might.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Is like, I think this week more than ever, you need to figure out who you're playing and whether he or she needs, if this person needs a running back, make sure you grab Tony Pollard. If that person needs a quarterback, grab Jalen Hurts. Like, again, sometimes the best offense is a good defense. It is completely legal. Even if you don't need Jalen Hurts, you don't want Jalen Hurts used against you.
You mentioned it earlier, but just a reminder that Kyler Murray was back as well. Career high, 406 passing yards, 29 rushing yards, and a touchdown. Again, eye test looked really good, looked healthier than we've seen him look in a while. So let's move past him and get to Drew
Had
Brees.
A rushing touchdown, too, which is something that we hadn't seen a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Feels like he's back healthy, and they've now put that back into his repertoire. Like, okay, we're going to have some designed runs, especially around the goal line.
Yeah, it seemed like they opened up the playbook a little bit yesterday as well, a little bit more vertically inclined down the field after kind of getting stale and stagnant on offense for about a month there in Arizona. Drew Brees came back yesterday, and at the end of the day, Matthew, 19.4 fantasy points, you can live with that, right?
Like, sure.
That's not going to crush your lineup, but Drew Brees looked bad. He struggled yesterday. He struggled. He just did.
Credit to the Saints, by the way. Saints played good defense. Yes,
the Saints played good defense too.
Yes, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
So the Kansas City Chiefs played really good defense. He looked a little rusty. And in fairness to him, no Michael Thomas. So you're asking a guy that, like, you know, with, I think, by my rough estimate, 8 billion cracked ribs.
Right.
Came back. You know, he'd missed a month. His best receiver isn't out there. And it's a tough defense. Yeah. So I think, honestly, like, especially when you look at some of the other performances that were out there, you know, like, you know, there, it was up and down week for quarterbacks. Like, we're talking about some of the good ones here, but, you know, listen, Aaron Rodgers had a, for him, subpar, you know, fantasy performance. I think if you started Drew Brees because you had to, 234 yards, 3 touchdowns, interception, 19.4 fantasy points, you're like, you know what? I can live with that.
Stefania, how do you think he looked overall? Because again, it was 11 cracked ribs.
Right. And so I think I'm really glad you're asking me, because I think from the medical standpoint, when I see people saying, oh, he came back too soon, like medically it was a problem. No, it was not. He did not leave injured. He was fine. He did say afterwards when he was asked if he was 100%, he's like, no. And he laughs a little bit. But you wouldn't necessarily expect that. And before anyone comes at me about, well, they should have waited till he was fully healthy, I'd like you to find somebody else in the NFL who comes back from an injury who's fully healthy. The Saints are doing something important by getting his conditioning back. If he was medically cleared to play, and he was rusty, I think he went 0 for 5, which is something he's never done to start a game in his professional career. But if you saw him run the 2-minute offense at the end, you saw Drew Brees look like Drew Brees. And so by getting him in the rhythm of an actual game, which is something you can't replicate in practice, they are preparing themselves for the postseason. So I think that he will get better, to Matthew's point, as the weeks go on. What you saw was the first game back. He'll adjust to not having Michael Thomas. I think he will get better the next two games in terms of accuracy and consistency.
By the way, next week he's home to Minnesota. So it's certainly a favorable matchup. You know, it's in the dome and it's against the Vikings. My guess, again, I haven't done my rankings yet, but my guess is Drew Brees will come in somewhere, you know, in the 10 to 12 range, you know, next week. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe a little lower.
Like solid, maybe a little lower. Yeah. Maybe 13, you know, whatever. But
everything about Drew Brees, and this is just me, he looked weak. Like there was no zip on the ball. There was no strength behind his throw. Everything felt like he didn't look like Drew Brees. And without Michael Thomas there and barely utilizing Alvin Kamara in the passing game, like, I don't know why I would be excited about Drew Brees with Traquan Smith and Emmanuel Sanders and Jared Cook in the fantasy playoffs.
He ripped one to Emmanuel Sanders down the field. But you're right, Daniel. That's it.
But Daniel, to that concern specifically, that speaks to endurance. That speaks to something that will get better. Like, he will not look next week like he looked this week.
Yeah, Daniel.
I think that
you're on my side.
It's true.
Oh, that's right.
No, listen, seriously, this is something in terms of coming back from an injury like this where you have to keep in mind your cardiovascular conditioning and that strength training for upper body. You can't do a lot of that while you're letting your ribs heal. So that will get better as time goes forward.
Here's the thing. Daniel, just to your point, no, you are not excited to start Drew Brees. You're definitely not excited to start Drew Brees. Yeah. What you are is like, can you live with Drew Brees? Like, I mean, you know, as you're sitting here sifting through your options, like, you're like, can I live with him? Do I think he's likely to get 18 to 22 points against Minnesota at home next week? I do.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. Like, I don't think Drew Brees costs you your game next week. He probably doesn't win it for you, but I don't think he costs you your game. Same as this week. Like, he didn't cost you your game this week.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. He did not cost you, but he also didn't carry you like someone like Jalen Hurts may have. Last one here. I think this is an interesting potential discussion. Baker Mayfield is available in a bunch of leagues going up against the Jets in week 16. Yesterday, he was awesome. Last night, he was against the Giants. 297 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 21 fantasy points. The Jets are allowing the 3rd most fantasy points per game this season to opposing quarterbacks.
Yeah. 2 red-hot teams going at it.
That's right. 4 straight games, over 18 fantasy points for Baker Mayfield. So, is there a scenario in which you would trust Baker starting in the fantasy finals?
There is. It's something like when I do my love list, I'm sure Baker will once again be on other receiving votes, and he has been, right? You know, over the last 4 weeks, here's the entire list of NFL quarterbacks with more passing touchdowns than Baker Mayfield. Aaron Rodgers, that's it. That's the list.
I know, and we keep it rolling here. He's 3rd in passing yards in that time. He's 3rd in fantasy points in that time. He's 5th in completion percentage in that time. It's been really good over the last 4 weeks. I think what it comes down to, though, is that...
And you know what? Like, and by the way, just like you always look at performance and you're like, why did this happen? Right? You know, is it a fluke? Can it happen? And the truth is like, give a lot of credit to Kevin Stefanski, Chad O'Shea, and their entire staff there in Cleveland, right? It's just like, it's working, right? They play action. We're going to run the ball, set up play action, and allow Baker to get clean throws and, you know, and find his lanes. And like, teams are so concerned, rightfully so, on Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And by the way, that offensive line is playing great. Baker often has a clean pocket. And here's a guy that was super accurate in college. And now he's got time and the whole offense isn't on him. It is rolling. Yeah. You know, with like credit to Kevin Stefanski, I would assume is going to be in the coach of the year conversation, and rightfully so.
Yeah, no question.
And what they've done on offense is a big part of it. I don't think it's a fluke is what I'm saying, is that there's a reason why Baker Mayfield was the number one overall pick, and they have found an offense finally that works for his skill set.
For whatever reason, there is one team that has kind of bothered Russell Wilson a little bit. It's the Los Angeles Rams. And on a day yesterday where he finished with 12 fantasy points, in large part because of his legs, Matthew, yeah. As crazy as this sounds, are we having trust issues with the Seahawks star players in the fantasy finals? Not just Russell Wilson, but DK Metcalf, who was held to 9.3 fantasy points. Tyler Lockett, who's outside the top 60 for wide receivers so far. Tyler Lockett has disappeared. He's been a mirage over the past 6 or 7 weeks. Do you trust the Seahawks in the fantasy finals?
No. No. Now, am I going to still start? Like, I'm still starting DK Metcalf. I can't imagine benching him. I think he's had two games against the Rams, I want to say off the top of my head. One was really bad, one was good. You know, he got into the end zone in one of them. So I can't imagine benching DK Metcalf. But Tyler Lockett, I think, look, Tyler Lockett made the hate list this past week. And one of the stats that I use is like, since he remember he had that week 7 eruption game against the Cardinals where yeah. He had the 3 touchdowns, he was ridiculous. I think that was a Thursday night game. Since that time, on a points per game basis, coming into week 15, he was wide receiver 46.
Absurd.
On a points per game. But you're not starting wide receiver 46, right? And now it's even worse.
It's every year.
And so, you know, and by the way, Jalen Ramsey has played a lot of slot this year in terms of where his coverage is. So he could see some Tyler Lockett. No, you're not starting him. Russell Wilson's the really interesting one. He's been under 15.5 fantasy points in 3 of his last 4. Hasn't had over 22.5 fantasy points since week 7. I mean, the offense has gotten more conservative as they, you know, and they just got Rashad Penny back. They want to run the ball. And, you know, to me, Russell Wilson and Chris Carson are the big questions for next week. You're likely starting Carson because I don't know that you have a better, you know, full-time running back on a good offense. You know, whatever. Hyde had the big touchdown last week, but he got the majority of the work yesterday against Washington. But, yeah, it's a question, man. Do I think Russell Wilson is a no-brainer set it and forget it starter in week 16? I do not.
Okay, let's go through some of the waiver wire ads quickly. Just sort of our thoughts to expand upon what we've already said about these players. I think Jalen Hurts has a case to be the most valuable waiver wire ad this week. You guys know how we feel about the player. If you were thinking ahead, Matthew, to week 16 against Dallas without having done your ranks as of yet, ballpark, top 5, top 8, top 10, top 12, where do you anticipate him ranking?
Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Top 8. Easy.
Okay. Yeah. And potentially higher, right?
Yeah. I haven't gone through all, I don't even looked at all the matchups. I don't have anything like that. But
the players you got to consider, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Justin Herbert. I think it's going to be somewhere around 8.
Yeah. The fact is that you sit there and think about, is this a fluke? And I don't think it is. It's a fantasy-friendly offense. He's going to be mobile. Is going to be, you know, rushing yards are going to be a part of his game.
Yep, great matchup.
Right, and it's a great matchup. So the kid's the real deal. And it's going to be a fascinating offseason for people like yourself, Field, and the talking heads over there at NFL Live and all of our shows to talk about what do the Eagles do with Carson Wentz.
Big, big discussions ahead for Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. But for now, at least they have some hope surrounding Jalen Hurts. Tony Pollard, as we discussed earlier on in the show, had a monster day filling in for Zeke. What we don't know is whether or not Zeke will play in week 16. But Matthew, you have to add him. If not for, as you said, your own roster to protect against somebody else, against the Eagles, will he be a top 15 play, top 20 play for you?
If we know Zeke is out, yeah, right, top 15.
Okay, I agree on that. Savon Ahmed's a really interesting one. Savon Ahmed, who, by the way, happens to have the same birthday as Matthew Berry.
So December 31st.
That's correct, Stephon.
That's December amazing. 29th.
That's amazing.
You animal. Okay.
He's just a couple years.
December 20th. Do not disrespect Savon Ahmed that way.
Oh, that's right. I'll never forget it now. Savon? Yes. Happy birthday on December 29th.
29th, there you go.
Savon Ahmed had the most rushing yards
full heel
by a Dolphins player. He snapped a 31-game drought without a 100-yard rusher. He looked really good. He had 3 catches for only 5 yards, but still 21.7 fantasy points. Now, same deal here. If Myles Gaskin returns, I expect him to play a lot. Matt Breida played a little bit yesterday. We do not know, though, on Myles Gaskin. If he's out for week 16, Savon Ahmed would be a top 18
Here's
player.
A question. Because Savon Ahmed looked great yesterday, right? And he's had other good games this year. Let's say Myles Gaskin is active. Is there a chance he's lost this job? I don't know that Myles Gaskin had an iron grip on this job.
Yeah, but I think he'll probably play some.
Sure.
I do think he'll play some, which might be enough to reduce the value from Ahmed to startable in a fantasy final to maybe a daily fantasy consideration more than anything else. A couple of wide receivers here, Matthew. Chad Hansen, 2 catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown yesterday for the Texans. Only 3 targets, though. So you can add him if you want. I think he's more desperation play only, personally.
They get Cincy next week, at least.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But still, I mean, it's 17 targets in 3 games. It's solid. No question about it. I think it's more desperation than a lot.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit more bullish on him than you are. I mean, again, I think that's a team that's going to have to throw. I mean, they're playing Cincinnati, so maybe not as much. But it's a good matchup, and I don't expect David Johnson to get 11 targets again. I do think that was just sort of a game flow. Colts playing good defense. They're not going to have the issues that they had against the Colts that they're going to have against. They're not going to have the same issues against Cincinnati that they had against the Colts. And so I like Chad Hansen more than you.
No, I'm just...
There's certainly risk there. There's no question.
If you play in a 3-wide receiver league, then I think it's value. But I think you're going to have him inside your top 30 next week?
Borderline.
Yeah, probably not.
Borderline.
Tyron Johnson for the Chargers, 3 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown. Remember, both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were banged up during this game. So Tyron Johnson, you would presume, has a chance. But also Jalen Guyton was in the mix last week. And the Chargers have 10 days between their last game.
Exactly. That's the point here, is that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were banged up and obviously limited, which is why Guyton and Johnson got the looks they did, but they were still active in that game. They were still well enough to play in that game. And so with 10 days now, because that was the Thursday game, we expect Allen and Williams to be a lot healthier. I'm not messing with a Charger pass catcher, honestly, that isn't named Keenan Allen or Hunter Henry this week.
And finally, Russell Gage leads us right into our touchscreen segment here on the waiver wires. We get into some of the names you need to know for week 16. Let's rank some of these players 1 through 5.
You've got the touchscreen. You go for it.
I'm gonna go the other way here. I'm gonna go.
Did you say flip the script?
Yeah, meaning like I'm gonna go 1 to 5 as opposed to 5 to 1.
No, I understand.
Tony Pollard. Okay.
Very rappy.
We don't know if we're gonna have Ezekiel Elliott on the field in week 16. But if we do not, Tony Pollard, of course, in line for another huge, huge day against the Eagles in terms of volume. Tony Pollard will be the number one waiver wire ad. By the way, this is excluding Jalen Hurts, who I think is the number one waiver ad in a vacuum.
And we should also mention this is excluding Le'Veon Bell, who's available in 42% of leagues, so he doesn't make your threshold of available in over 50%. But if Le'Veon Bell were available in your league, obviously he would be a priority add as well.
Same thing goes for Jeff Wilson Jr., who's just over that 50% threshold. Savon Ahmed, number 2. Oh, that's not good. I just put... Dude. There we go. Savon Ahmed, number 2 for me. Again, we don't know Myles Gaskin, but what you are potentially receiving, if Myles Gaskin's out, and no word here, he's on the COVID-19 list, so we have no idea to tell whether or not he'll be available in week 16. But if you don't have Myles Gaskin, you could have Savon Ahmed as an RB2 for this upcoming week. I do think there's some potential there just based off what we saw in week 15. Number 3, Russell Gage. We talked about this. Julio Jones could very well return this year. He wants to. But if he doesn't, like, you kind of know what you have there with Russell Gage. Back-to-back-to-back games with at least 10 fantasy points. There's enough of a sample size there to get kind of excited. I'll throw Lynn Bowden Jr. in there. Sort of interesting player. I'm not sure I'm totally, totally crazy about it. But a guy who had 7 targets again yesterday, which means he has 20 targets over his past 3 games. Not a lot of big play upside, but an interesting player. And then I guess to make Matthew happy, Chad Hansen comes in at number 5 on this list. Remember, there are a lot of qualifiers here. Chad Hansen, who has, over the past 3 games, a total of, if my math is correct, 17 targets for the Texans. Maybe you like the matchup enough against the Bengals in week 16 to consider it. Again, I think it'll probably be outside my top 30, but it's week 16. You shouldn't expect to have a bunch of great names on the waiver wire. Be sure to be checking for Jeff Wilson Jr., and Le'Veon Bell, and Jalen Hurts, of course, and a few others that are not that far above 50%. Those would be guys to also keep an eye on as we get into the waiver wire in week 16. What do you got, Matthew?
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, is, by the way, is if Damian Harris is out once again, Sony Michel got a lot of work.
Yeah, 10 carries yesterday. Yep. He makes the waiver wire column, not a top 5 for me.
Yeah, I agree with you, not top 5. But again, just sort of try to give a wide range. You know, they play the Bills next week as well. I think you can run on Buffalo somewhat. Yep. So Sony Michel for deeper leagues is somebody that's sort of interesting there. Again, I agree with this list. I would prefer if Le'Veon Bell or Jeff Wilson Jr. were available in my league, I would prefer both of them over Tony Pollard, just because at the time that you're going to have to make the decision, you're not going to know whether Ezekiel Elliott is back or not, because he's never missed a game, because Ezekiel Elliott was a game time decision. I think more likely than not he plays. He may not play enough that you want to use him. You know what I mean? But I do feel like there's a little bit of Ezekiel watching Tony Pollard go crazy. Like, I need to get out there. You know, so.
Daniel, what do you got?
I want to really quickly throw at you guys, rapid fire here, some Dumpsville names. Because obviously, if you're going to add some people, you got to get rid of a few. Todd Gurley, 4 straight games and under 5.5
yes.
fantasy points.
Correct. Dumpsville.
Dumpsville.
Dumpsville, yes.
DJ Chark, under 10 fantasy points in 5 straight games.
Yes.
Dumpsville.
Naheem Hines, 9.4 points per game over his last 5.
Dumpsville.
Yeah. Here's okay. the thing. You're unless you're going to start them in week 16,
Dumpsville.
You don't need them on your team, and there's just no upside to Naheem Hines.
What about George Kittle, rostered in 74% of leagues, potentially could come back?
He's pushing to come back. Team might have other ideas. Up in the air right now.
Dumpsville for me if you need the roster spot. If you need the roster spot, you can Dumpsville. Again, I just depends on who you have as tight end besides that, but unless you play in a 2-week
decent
final.
Decent chance he doesn't play. Who knows how good he would be. Quarterback situation is ugly in San Francisco. I would risk putting him on the waiver wire.
All right, we are back tomorrow again with as much of a preview show as we can deliver to you during a short week. Waiver Wire Com will be up later. Fantasy Show will be out as well. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I'm Field. Talk to you guys on Tuesday.
Peace out to everyone except Stefania.
You're in the whole 6010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.